want to talk about something today that a big problem. It's not Laurel and Hardy. How many in here know who Laurel and Hardy were? I'm just curious. Who doesn't know who Laurel and Hardy was? Oh boy, I just feel old. Well, I chose this simply because of gossip. We all know it. We all know of gossip, and sure, we at least have an idea what gossip is, what it means. Maybe if you're old, like me, Steve, and David back here, maybe you remember this. If it plays. Well, this was working earlier.
Now we're not ones to go around spread rumors. Why, really, we're just not possibly kind. Oh, you'll never hear one of us repeating gossip. So you'd better be sure and listen close the first time.
I'm going to stop it there because we don't need to hear all the singing. But, now, they don't repeat gossip, so you better listen close the first time. The Bible is full of real, imperfect people. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old, and he was a liar. Sarah laughed at God's promises. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem and a short fuse. Miriam, she was a gossip. Gideon, he was afraid. Samson had long hair and he was a womanizer. Jeremiah and Timothy, they were too young. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. David started off too young. Later he had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Elijah was burned out and suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah ran from God. Amos's only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. John the Baptizer ate bugs. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Thomas doubted. Zacchaeus was too small. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Paul himself was too religious. Plus, he was a murderer. As were Moses and David. And of course, there's Lazarus. But he was dead. A lot of these people had problems. And they had issues. Imagine what was probably said about each of these people by maybe some of the ladies' groups as they met around the well or something like that. And what stories might have been spread. And who knows what was said by the gossips who lived at the same time as these great people in the history of faith. They all had their problems, but they overcame those problems. Harriet, a church gossip and self-appointed supervisor of the church's morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Several people did not care for what she was doing, but they feared her enough to maintain her silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup truck parked all afternoon in front of the town's only bar. She commented to George and others that everyone seeing it there would know that he was an alcoholic. George, a man of few words, stared at her for a moment and then just walked away. He didn't say a word. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup in front of Harriet's house and left it there all night. There was a Christian man who went to a trusted friend and he confessed that he really felt guilty about gossip that he had done. And he wanted to know what he could do to make it right. Now, this friend told him to go to the top of a mountain, rip open a feather pillow, turn the feathers loose in the wind, and then come back the next day. So the man did what he was told. He went to the top of the mountain, tore open a feather pillow, and scattered the feathers into the wind. The next day he went back to the friend and asked what he was supposed to do next. The friend told him to go back and collect all the feathers. Well, the man complains, that'd be impossible to collect all those feathers. They were scattered everywhere. That, my friend, is the point. Once you begin to gossip, the words spread and scatter to the wind and can never be retrieved. You don't know where they're going. You don't know where they'll land. And you don't know whom they will hurt. Wow. What is gossip? Well, if I get my thing to... There we go. What is gossip? Well, here's a dictionary definition. One, a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. Two, rumor or report of an intimate nature, chatty talk, or the subject matter of gossip. Well, I want to tell you, notice not a bit of that, nor does anywhere in the scripture say that gossip has to be a lie. See, gossip, if it hurts somebody, whether it's true or not, matter of fact, you can hurt people more with the truth than you can with a lie. Gossip may be true or may be false. As you might expect, the Bible has a few things to say about gossip. Listen to a few verses dealing with our speech in general. In Matthew... Whoops, I'm sorry, I jumped to the wrong slide. In Matthew... let me go back. I think I may have messed up in my slides here. Let me see. Nope. Sorry about that. Matthew says, Matthew 12:33 through 37. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Does it matter what you say? Yes, it does. And Jesus is, remember, he just uses the word careless words. Not thinking about the words. You ever said something to somebody, you hurt them real bad, didn't mean to? I've said that, I've done that to Shelley. That's a careless word. And you can hurt people that way. But don't you think gossip is careless? It's like ripping open that feather pillow. You just don't know where it's going to end up. You tell somebody, well, if they can't keep a secret, they tell somebody else, who knows who they're going to tell, whether they can keep a secret or not, and it just blossoms. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. You ever hear somebody talk and know that they're not a Christian? Somebody was... somebody in this room was telling me how their spouse sees this one person that claims to be a Christian and yet just says nothing but bad mouth and talk people down and use all kinds of language and talk about things Christians have no business talking about. That happens. James chapter 3 verses 5 through 10 says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. And is set on fire for hell. For every species of beast and birds and of reptiles, creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. Is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Now the word gossip is not used in any of those passages that I've read so far, yet it's very clear we're to keep track of what we say, and we're to keep what we say in check, have control over it. How old is Brandon now?
Landon. Sorry.
Landon.
3.5 months.
I know that. Sorry. Yeah, Brandon, how old are you? Landon is how old?
3.5 months.
3.5 months.
Sorry.
Well, getting back to... Since I got the words in front of me, I'm not going to mess up names here. There's three words used in the New Testament for the word gossip. And I want to look at a couple of passages that deal with this. And the first word is this one. Pistrismus. And it means whisperer. That's the Laurel and Hardy picture. You know, hey, did you hear about William? Because you're right there. How he likes to wear dresses. Did you hear that?
That's a Jeff.
Is that? Yeah, see how that gets started? Now, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32, it says this. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burn in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips. Now, see, that's that word that means whisperer, talebearer. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, and those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Wow, that's a long list of stuff there, the things that are improper. Gossip is listed there. We had a ladies group when I preached in Fort Lauderdale. Hadn't been there very long before I had dear sweet Debbie came to me. She had been to our ladies group that met on Tuesday mornings, as I remember. Might have been Thursday mornings, but they met. And Debbie came to me the day after and said, I'm sorry, I just don't think I can go there anymore. I said, why? She said, because we go there for Bible study, and as soon as people open up their Bible, they start gossiping. They got their Bible open, so I guess they, and this was the way Debbie explained it, so I guess they feel like they fulfilled what they came there for, but then they start talking about people in the church or talking about their neighbors and stuff like that. She says, it's just a big gossip session. And I asked her to go back another week to see if this happened again. And she said, well, I will, but if she's been to the last three or four, she said, this is what always happened. It went and it did the same thing. So I went to a couple of ladies about it, and they said, well, yeah, probably did. Okay, well, I thought maybe it got dealt with then. Well, very next week, came back, and it was still, boom. They were gossiping. It was the same thing that they had done for who knows how long. So I got up and I used this very passage. This is before my sermon on Sunday, on that morning. I read from this very passage and I said, they are gossips. And I said, you want to see how seriously God takes gossip? Here in the midst, he begins by talking about homosexuality. He's talking about murderers, thieves, people that hate God. And guess who's right in the middle of that? Gossips. And I said, you folks that meet together and gossip, I try not to single them out particularly, but so you folks that meet together to gossip, this is where God places what you're doing. Right in the midst of all these things that are improper. Haters of God. How can anybody who's a Christian gossip? At least at those women's Bible studies, that took care of the problem. They quit doing that. They started doing something, actually studying their Bible, which I thought was probably a good thing for them to do. Another place this word is used is in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Paul writes, "For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may find you, or may be found by you, not to be what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip," you know, whispering, "arrogance, disturbances." This is not portrayed in a very good light. Another word that's used is fluoros. And you can see a tattler. That somebody sees something has to go tell immediately somebody else. Or a foolish talker. Or a loose talker. This word is used in 1 Timothy 5:13. It says, "At the same time, they also learn to be idle." He's talking about widows, by the way, in this particular passage. He said, "At the same time, they learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention." You know, these tattlers, foolish talkers, talking about things they have no business talking about. You know, in one episode of Seinfeld, George is complaining about someone to Jerry. Jerry says, "Why don't you just tell him how much this upset you?" George said, "I'm much more comfortable talking about someone behind their backs than to their face." And that's the easy thing about gossip. You can talk about anybody. You can say anything you want to. They're not there to defend themselves or say anything different. Third word that is used is this word, diabolos. It's the word slanderer. It's also one of the names given to Satan himself, the devil, diabolos. And it's used in a number of places. 1 Timothy 3:13, "Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things." 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips," these accusers, these slanderers, "without self-control, brutal, haters of good." Titus chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good." So all three of these words that are used, we are not to be either one of these. They get translated as gossip. And by the way, just to make clear, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. That's why we look at these Greek words to find out what the meaning is of these words, so we can have a kind of a more accurate understanding of what's being said. But all these things go exactly right along with what the 20th proverb in the 19th verse says. "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with the gossip." Somebody who's a gossip, don't be around them. Stay away from them. Because, well, basically, if they're a gossip, eventually they're going to be talking about you if they're not already. The wisdom of Scripture says, stay away from them. Avoid them. Don't associate with them. I got this from Ralph Johnson, a preacher in Seattle. He shared it with me. He says, "My name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments, wreck marriages, and ruin careers. I cause sleepless nights, heartaches, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I make headlines and headaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up. Laura Schlesinger, she wrote a book, Ten Commandments, The Significance of God's Law in Everyday Life. This a couple of years ago. She says this, she says, imagine I gave you a large cup filled to the brim. You take a sip and say, ah, that's good. Sounds like me with Mountain Dew. What happens if, as you take the next sip, someone unexpectedly runs into you, like a linebacker hitting a running back, or a five-year-old jumping in your lap? Whatever was in the cup is now all over you, and on the carpet, too. We all know whatever you put into the glass is going to come out if it is upset. You and I are just like that cup filled to the brim. Whatever is on the inside will come out when we get upset too. We may try to do damage control and cover up some of our spills, but the damage is already done. Like hot coffee, our words have sometimes burned our family and friends. Like ice, we have chilled relationships. Like grape or tomato juice, we have left a stain that cannot be cleansed. Whatever is on the inside will come out. Folks, we as Christians need to make sure that we're both right on the inside and on the outside. We would never gossip with the subject of that gossip in hearing distance. And I want to tell you, if you can say something without that person being there, let me rephrase it. If you would say something without the person there that you wouldn't say if they were there, unless you're talking about their birthday or something nice that you want to surprise them with, you shouldn't be saying it. Period. Now, that's disloyal, it's betrayal, it's deceitful, it's satanic. Is that who you are? Let's make sure it's not. As followers of Christ, we have, it sounds, you know, sometimes we sing a song about Jesus, and we have a banner that we follow. And that's not silly, because we do follow the banner of Christ. That means even in our speech, we should be exemplifying the life of Jesus. Did Jesus speak harshly? Sometimes when he had to. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! Yeah, he spoke harshly sometimes. Did he speak kindly? Oh yeah. Sure did. He came to a woman who had been a reject, who had to come out when nobody else was there during the day to get water. A Samaritan woman. And he came and he talked with her when no one else would. That was Jesus. Jesus, walking down, saw a man who wanted to see him in a sycamore tree, looking down, because he was too short to see Jesus if he hadn't climbed a tree. And he was a tax collector of all things. A hated person. Jesus looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, come on down. You didn't know this, but you're treating me to lunch. He didn't quite say it that way, but they had a meal together. That was Jesus. Jesus was forceful. There's one day when somebody wasn't listening to him because he was dead, Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. Jesus, in the midst of this great storm out on the Sea of Galilee, stood up in the boat and said, "Peace, be still," to the storm. And it got quiet, to the utter amazement of the apostles that were sitting next to him. And they started wondering, "Who is this guy?" Folks, we can use the same kind of speech in loving ways. But you know what Jesus never did? He never gossiped. And folks, we need to do the same. We need to, instead of tearing somebody down, let's do our best to build them up. Now, if we're talking about somebody with a problem and we got to talk about their problems, that's a different issue. That's not, you're not talking about people to hurt them. You're trying to build them up. You're trying to do what needs to be done to correct the situation. But it's so easy. And there's been, I can't tell you how many times I've walked in a room and I've heard things being said and I just had to stop and say, "Hey, this turned into gossip. It's got to stop." And usually it does when you point it out. Because it's so easy to slip into that hateful, hurtful talk. Folks, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, let's make sure that we speak His language. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. I pray that we would use our words wisely. And Father, I just ask that we would love others as much as you have loved them. That we would speak about others as you would have us to speak. And that we would do our best to build up others, so that we might lead them to your Son. And my God, in all things, help us to be your servants in every aspect of our life, including our speech. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible teaches very clearly that to become a Christian, you must believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died on that cross on the third day, was raised from the grave. You must believe that He is the Lord. You must repent. That means, literally means, a changing of your mind. You must quit living the way you used to live and live the way God wants you to live. Think the way God wants you to think. You're not going to be perfect at it. That's where God's grace comes in. The Bible says to believe, to repent, and be baptized. That is, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice he says in that verse, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins comes at baptism. That's when you enter into a covenant with Jesus. If you're here this morning, you've not been baptized. You've not entered into that covenant with Jesus. Come talk to me. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, and you can come forward, make a commitment if you want. If you want to wait till later, talk to me later. But give your life to Jesus.